Thank you, Father, so much for Janet and the message that she's prepared for us. And I pray that you soften our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears, so that we can receive so much, everything that you have for us to hear today, everything that you have for us to receive and just dwell upon, that will really transform us from the top to toe. And I pray that you give Janet wisdom, clarity, and focus throughout this message so that you can speak freely through her to us. Amen.
Thanks so much, Becky. Well, hello, everyone, and hello if you're watching online. It's great to have you with us today. We are looking at prayer. We're in a series looking at our corporate prayer life together. And for the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at declaring those truths of who God is, our Father in heaven. We've been declaring how hallowed, revered is your name. Last week, we thought about your kingdom come, your will be done, how we really want a bit of heaven here on earth, God's will to be done. So today, give us today our daily bread. If I can have the first slide up, thanks. I thought it would be good, actually, right at the beginning, if as a whole congregation gathered here this morning, that we actually said the Lord's Prayer together, and we said it slowly together, and we thought about declaring those truths of who God is. So it starts with praising God, and then it moves on to petition, asking God. So let's start by saying this together now. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Give us today our daily bread, our absolute basic needs we're asking for. I don't know if any of you have studied, this doesn't seem to be working, but never mind. We go back a bit, there we are. Right. I don't know if any of you have looked at Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Do any of you know about this one here? You do. Right at the bottom, our human need is physiological. We simply need food. We need water. We need shelter. And then we need safety and security. Before we look at the more complex needs, there are basic needs that everybody has, and they are for bread, for water, for food, for drink. I suspect most of us here can say, thank you, God, I had breakfast. I had a bed last night. I had sleep. I had rest. I've got clothes. I've got a roof over my head. Our basic needs. But in many parts of the world, what do you do if you don't even have those basic needs met? If you have faith, Lord, give us today our daily bread. What are those basic needs? I've been to Uganda a few times, and when I'm in Uganda, we pray a lot. They pray at breakfast, we say grace. At lunch, we say grace. Evening meal, say grace. Sodas, have some Coca-Colas, middle of the day, we say grace. Every single bit of food, every drink, every bottle of Coca-Cola, there is prayer. Thank you, God. There is a complete dependence on God for our daily needs. The other thing I noticed when I was there is they pray every single time they get in the car or the minibus. They pray for journey's mercies, for safe travel. So this was October, the year before last. You may recognize some of the people on the left-hand side. And we're in this minibus. And as the custom is, we prayed every single day for safety when we were driving. And we were hurtling, and I mean hurtling, back down the tarmac road, back down to Kampala, when suddenly, 30, 40 miles per hour, there is a crash. The wheel falls off the minibus, okay? And there are 9 of us in this minibus. And the driver slowly brakes, pulls it to a halt, and we get out. And that's what we found. The whole wheel hub had completely come off. But we were safe. And then I realized, yes, we'd prayed for a safe journey that morning there. There's something about that daily dependence on God. So again, if you have your meal, give thanks to God. Give us our daily bread. Keep us safe, Lord, while we are traveling. Be great if you could keep open your Bibles or find them on your phones. Acts chapter 12, verses 1 to 19. Acts chapter 12. So the context is it's in the early church. We've had Pentecost. The church is growing. Things are going well. The church is growing. People are coming to faith. 3,000 added to their number. The Ethiopian eunuch believes. Cornelius, who was a Gentile, believes. Saul, who was a persecutor, becomes Paul, is converted. There'd been persecution, but the church was growing. And then the king, Herod Agrippa I, he was Herod the Great's grandson, and he started persecuting the Christians. And it says, it was about this time King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. And when he saw it met with approval among the Jews, he seized Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. You remember Peter, James, and John, Jesus's closest friends, if you like, the core of the disciples. James, who was brother to John's, has been arrested and lost his life, been beheaded. Peter, one of the chief apostles, has been arrested and put in prison. But during a festival, you didn't put people on trial or executed them. You sort of waited till the festival was over, and then you went ahead and did it. So the power dynamic, you've got Herod, who's got authority and power and soldiers and guards and a prison and a fortress, has locked up Peter. On the other side, you've got the church. They had the power of prayer. They had nothing else. They were powerless. And so they got together to pray. So after arresting him, Herod has got Peter in prison. He's guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. We're talking about the four watches through the night. Every 3 hours, there will be a fresh lot of four soldiers guarding him. And this is our key verse, verse 5. Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. We're thinking at the moment about corporate prayer, about the church coming together to pray. And we're told the church was praying earnestly because Peter was in prison. And they knew that once this festival was over, there was a show trial, a public trial, and then he would be executed like James was. And so they prayed earnestly. So I looked up the synonyms for the name earnestly. They prayed seriously, solemnly, gravely, soberly, sincerely, intently, resolutely, firmly, ardently, fervently, warmly, keenly, eagerly, intensely, earnestly. What is our prayer life? When we pray, do we pray like that, earnestly, passionately, fervently? I suspect for most of us there are some topics where we can pray really, really fervently. And when you pray with others, you can hear what they are passionate about. I've been in small groups or in twos and threes praying, and you can hear it in the way somebody has got a real passion for the homeless or for Ukraine or for somebody they know who's ill. What does your small group corporate prayer sound like? If we could overhear it, do we pray with fervency? Do we pray earnestly? Let's see what happens in the rest of the story. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, this is like a last minute answer to prayer. Did you notice that? It's just the night before. And sometimes we pray and it seems God only answers at the last minute. When we were chatting, when the kids were going out, I was chatting with Naomi, and she had this wonderful story of months and months and months of prayer, And her prayer was answered 4 days before this thing that needed to happen. Sometimes it's last minute. So there's Peter. He's sleeping. Now, would you sleep? I'm not sure I would sleep if I knew there was a trial the next day. There's something about his trusting God, his freedom from worry or anxiety, I feel, that he was sleeping. And we're told very specifically, I love these eyewitness details, he had 2 chains and he had these sentries guarding him. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord appears, a light shone in the cell, the angel strikes Peter on the side and wakes him up, quick, get up. The chains fell off Peter's wrists. The chains fell off. I discovered that we have a stained glass window of this story up in the chancel, up there on the right-hand side. After the gathering's finished, come and have a look. There's a whole window with St. Peter, second one from the right. And you can see Peter standing there, the keys to the kingdom. There's a little picture of Peter and the boats and the fishermen. And right at the top, there is a picture of an angel with a chain, Peter, and the angel has just loosened the chain. You've got Peter there freed, and you've got a guard who's obviously in a really deep sleep. Amazing. I didn't know that. I just discovered that recently. Peter came to himself. So Peter has been miraculously freed. He is taken out by the angel, and he thinks he's sleepwalking, and it's in a dream. And they pass one lot of gates, second lot of gates, the big iron gate to the city opens, and he walks down the street, and then we're told the angel leaves him. Peter comes to himself and says, "Now I know God has sent this angel and rescued me." Do we thank God when the prayer is answered? Do we say, "Thank you, God, for answering. That's an amazing prayer, Lord, and you freed me." I loved it when Izzy and Fleur talked about those answers to prayer, for that answer to prayer for that young man getting the job, the answer to a prayer for an employer coming and offering jobs there. The church prays, but do we always expect that prayer to be answered? So let's read on in the story. When this had dawned on Peter, it's the night, remember, he went to the house of Mary. So Mary is John Mark's mother, and it's a place where they reckon the early Christians had a small group. They often gathered together. And we're told where many people had gathered and were praying. But this is the night time. The church was praying in the night. Peter knocked at the outer entrance. A servant girl named Rhoda comes to the door, and when she hears Peter's voice, slams the door in his face and runs back inside and says, it's Peter at the door. As I said, this is a fantastic story, Acts chapter 12, to read. "You're out of your mind." She goes and tells the disciples who are praying, it's Peter. They said, "It can't be. It's a ghost, woman. It's your imagination." So Peter has to knock, knock, knock again. Let's read on, verse 16. Peter kept on knocking. And then when they saw him, they were astonished. Now, there's so much noise going on because they're praying together fervently and earnestly and passionately. There's all this noise coming in. Peter comes in. It says he motioned with his hands, "Shush, shush." And he tells them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And then this interesting bit, tell James and the other brothers and sisters about this. And then he left and went into hiding to another place. He tells them to tell others about this fantastic answer to prayer because they're shocked. They almost weren't expecting it there. And he has to quieten them down because they're praying so fervently. God hears and answers prayers. But they should have expected it because God has got form. He's done it before. You may remember back in Acts chapter 5, verse 19, they had been arrested earlier on. The apostles had been put in jail earlier. And then it says in Acts 5:19, During the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail, brought them out. "Go, stand in the temple courts," he said. "Tell the people about this new life." We need to remember where God has already answered prayers. They should have gone back and reread Acts chapter 5 and remembered that actually God delivers people from prison. It's important to tell others, to share our stories where God has been at work and God has answered our prayers. No. Go back to, can we have a blank screen? Thanks. God is sovereign, and when we pray, his kingdom goes forward a bit. But it doesn't exempt Christians from suffering. It doesn't exempt us from martyrdom. There are plenty of prisoners in the world at the moment. I get occasional emails from a charity working in Iran where there are prisoners in jail because they know Jesus, because they're Christians. God's word is not chained. His word, he is not chained. His spirit is not chained. But there are people today living in chains. We need to pray for them for release from those chains. But before I finish, I want to go right back to the beginning where you remember James, son of Zebedee, was beheaded by Herod Agrippa. I think the church were also praying for James. And yet that prayer, in a sense, was not answered. He was beheaded. But it didn't stop them praying for Peter. And I think there's a message in there for us not to stop praying for something because you prayed for something before and it didn't seem to be answered. But they kept on praying and praying fervently for Peter. And he was not executed, unlike James. He was set free. So as I close now, what is God saying to each of us this morning? What is he challenging us about our corporate prayer life today? When we pray, "Lord, give us our daily bread," when we put before him our basic needs, there's something about gathering together. I was just struck the way that church, they had a night vigil in effect, didn't they? They were praying together in the night. They were praying fervently, earnestly, passionately. They were praying loudly. Peter had to quieten them. They persevered in prayer. They kept going. This is the night before the trial was due to take place. We need to keep praying for really basic things and give thanks for our daily needs being met by God. To give thanks within our home, saying grace at mealtimes, praying in our groups for our needs. But we also need to remember when God has previously, there's been an answer to prayer. Remember, rejoice. We need to expect answers to prayer. I love the fact that Rhoda was so surprised the prayer had been answered, she just shut the door and ran back inside. Expect God to act. And we need to share those stories. Like Peter said, tell others what has done. So I'm going to invite the band to come back up. And Rebecca, if you want to come on up. What is God saying about our prayer life today as a church? What is God challenging us to do? I love the fact that our very first song, "Oh, how I need you, oh, how we need you, God, we need you to act."